Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this evening's message is the psalm that we read responsively at the beginning of our service. Psalm 25 is a psalm of David. It's a psalm that perhaps David wrote in his old age, or at least as a mature individual. And in it, we see the maturity of faith. David begins the psalm by speaking about the Lord, that the Lord would make known to David his ways. Teach me your paths. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put ashamed. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Those words, shame and ashamed. In our dictionary, we understand shame, and to be ashamed to mean feeling embarrassed, to be troubled by guilt or foolishness. And yet, in David's day, that word shame really meant to be let down, to be disappointed. David is saying, Lord, don't disappoint me. I've come to know your ways. I've come to know your mercy, your righteousness, your salvation. I've come to know your goodness, and now I come to you. Don't let me be disappointed. Show your mercy. Show your righteousness. Show your salvation as you have in the past. My suggestion that David writes this as an older individual, as a much more mature person, comes in the line where David says, remember not the sins of my youth, O Lord, but according to your mercy, according to your loving kindness, remember me. David certainly was aware of his sin, particularly the sinfulness of his youth. It's interesting, the generation gap concerning sin. When I talk to our young people, our confirmation students, our weekday school students, and I ask, how many of you sinned today? Nobody raises a hand. Said, y'all kept the commandments perfectly? Yeah, we did. I said, you didn't have a disagreement with your parents about who you were hanging out with or how late you were staying up? And you didn't storm off to your room and say, I hate you, mother, under your breath? Or during phy-ed class, you didn't have, you know, extra glances over at certain individuals in the gym uniforms? And during that test, you didn't look over for a little help, like I'm smarter than a fifth grader where I get that copy help? You know, you didn't turn in somebody else's work that you just sort of recorded on your own sheet with your own pen, with your own hand? Now how many of you said, well, then the hands reluctantly go up. And yet when I visit with our older members, mature members, particularly those who are drawing close to the end of their life, sin seems to be a great burden upon themselves. As they look back over their life and they look at regrets, they look at things that they've done. In fact, more than once I've had a person say, I just don't know how God could forgive me of that sin, and they've been bearing this burden of this guilt and this sin for sometimes 50 years or 40 years. And now that they're drawing close to meeting the Lord, they're afraid that he's going to shut the door to them because of that sin. And they become very aware of their mortality and of their sinfulness. And as I've mentioned here myself, I become more and more aware of the sin in my life. Not just the large sin that glares at me, but even the small, minuscule sin. And David also felt that anguish, that concern. And so he says, God, remember not the sin of my youth, but according to your unfailing mercy, remember me. You who forgave me of my sin, remember me, regard me in that light. Regard me in the light of your mercy shown in your Son Jesus Christ, who died on that cross for my sin, that my sin might be forgiven and remembered no more. Oh, that we were as forgetful about our sin as God is after we've confessed it and after God has forgiven us. Oh, that we would only remember the forgiven part and forget the sin itself. Because as God looks at us in Christ, he sees not the sin, only the forgiven sinner. And so David speaks these words, and he asks God to continue to instruct him, to continue to teach him his ways. He's come to know that the only source of that teaching is God himself, God in his word, communicating the very love and mercy of God, the very word that we heard this evening where God spoke and said, I do not desire the death of anyone, but I desire that they all should turn from their wickedness and live. And you think that that's unjust thinking, O house of Israel. And then the Pharisees asking Jesus by what authority he taught and spoke the things that he did, and he asked them the question, well, concerning John's baptism, was it from heaven or was it from man? And they talked about it among themselves. They said, well, if we say that it was of heaven, then Jesus is going to say, well, why didn't you believe it? Why didn't you go out there and receive that baptism? And if we say it was only of man, well, then the crowds are going to be mad at us because they believe that John is a prophet. And Jesus says, well, and they say, we don't know. And Jesus says, well, then I'm not going to tell you by what authority I teach either. Of course, we know by what authority Jesus taught and spoke the things that he did, by the authority of his Father, the very one that David looks to as a source of his knowledge. Knowledge about God. Knowledge about God's mercy and kindness and righteousness, that God is our God of salvation, and that his love for us is steadfast. Because, as David says also, my enemies surround me. And David isn't talking necessarily about Saul's armies that are out to hunt him down, or any other physical enemy. He's talking rather about those enemies that plague all of God's people. The enemy of the devil, seeking to trip us up, to lead us into temptation and into sin. He's talking about the world in which we live that has disregard for God, disregard for the very creator of it, and seeks to worship itself as God. And also our own flesh with its sinful inclinations. when we're young, we have no thought. We give no thought to those enemies, do we? The enemy is the bully on the playground who's hitting me up for my lunch money or my milk money, or wants the dessert out of my lunch. We don't think in terms of spiritual enemies, but as we grow older, they constantly bombard us, don't they? As we feel that evil one coming to ask us, did God really forgive you, and seeding doubt in our mind about our own forgiveness and our own salvation. And for those very reasons, for those enemies that plague us, we need to be lifelong learners of the God of our salvation. We constantly need to be immersing ourselves in God's Word and the study of God's Word so that we build ourselves up in the knowledge of God as a God who loves us, as a God who loves all sinners, who sends His Son into the world to die on the cross, not for one person, but for all people, and in all people, also for one person. We need to be lifelong learners of the mercy of God. We need to be lifelong learners of the paths and instructions that God wants us to walk in and to live in. Because there will be no shortage of those who want to quell that knowledge. Teach me your way, O Lord. Instruct me in your paths. David understood that the only person that could teach him about God himself was God himself. And likewise, the only one who can teach us about God and about our Savior is our Savior himself, who calls us in his Word through the Holy Spirit, calls us out of darkness, calls us into his marvelous light. He is the one who says, your sin is forgiven. Go and sin no more. David certainly understood that. We need to come to that understanding too, and may God, through his Holy Spirit at work in us, through his Word and through the sacraments, continue to fill us with that desire to know more and more and more about this God who loves us. This God who does not want anyone to die, but wants everyone to turn from their wickedness and their sin and live. We need to teach that to our children. We need to teach that to our children, whether they're 5 years old, or whether they're 50 years old, or whether they're 80 years old. And I suppose it's possible for a parent to have an 80-year-old child. The vicar was just telling me about somebody that was 111 years old, and they went out for dinner to celebrate their birthday, and the hostess said, oh, is this your husband? And she said, no, it's my son. Her son was 85 years old. We don't think of that, but it's possible. But we all, from greatest to least, need to be lifelong learners of the mercies of God. And every day, not only are his mercies new to us, his forgiveness new to us, but also the knowledge that he imparts to us, as he supplies daily not only our physical needs, but also our spiritual needs. So may we all, together with David, say, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths, that we may indeed gain a heart of wisdom and a heart of knowledge that grounds us in our Savior. And being grounded in him, that we may indeed have what he promises and what he brings to us in his Word, eternal life, forgiveness of sins, and salvation. That knowledge brings to us far more than any knowledge from any university or college, because it is knowledge that fits us not only for life in this world, but for life in the world to come. Amen.